Okay, Daddy Joe and I were talking about Proverbs 31, and then he started talking about his grandmother. Okay, go ahead and tell me about your grandmother.
Well, I'll just tell you.
Okay, that she was from the Carpathian Mountains in Austria.
She was a tiny little thing. She was tiny. She up to maybe my belly button. And it was a visit when... I had my new uniform and went out to show, you know, Grandpa, which didn't seem to matter anything, but oh, she just went wild, you know, how wonderful.
Now, was this your mother's mother?
Yeah.
Okay, and do you remember her name?
No.
What was her last name? Do you remember her last name?
Weiss. Weiss.
Okay. And they were from the Carpathian Mountains in Austria.
Right.
And you were telling me that she did something when she was young. What did you tell me that she did?
Oh, she ran. They called it a kretschmer. Now, whether that was a bar, say, you know, some little business, you know, or maybe... Maybe she traded goods, I don't know. Something of that sort. Some sort of, a bar, or something of that sort, in a little stall-like. But what really remarked, it was this little tiny thing had about seven or eight children.
Wow.
And just as active. Think about the puff of wind.
The puff of wind. She was always busy.
Always busy. You know, it might have been what mother's idea had about her own mother.
Could have been. Yeah.
A little busy, busy, busy about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was for business. But
yeah.
It wasn't.
But she was successful. She was a successful businesswoman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did your grandfather work there with her?
Did he work?
Uh-huh.
Studying his Bible. That's all. He studied the beard down here. He had his, you know, books. I don't know what it was. I consider it, you know, the Bible. And that, that's all he was doing. That was supposed to be a very very nice thing to do, is to let your husband do the study.
Hmm.
You know, studies, leave him alone to do the studies. What studies? Well, maybe the same thing. I mean, the Christian people have their books that they study all the time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so he was kind of a husky.
Now, when did they come to America?
I think 1923. Yeah, that's the time Mother took. Well, that's the time we went up there anyhow to see their arrival, the coming arrival. And they stayed in the apartment with one of her daughters, I think. And maybe this is a different story. I don't think this daughter ever got married. A very tragic thing. I think it was this one. That I think she went out for an evening with her uncle. And in the crossing the street, They were out in the middle of the street when they shouldn't have been, you know.
Yeah.
They should have watched the traffic and waited for the streetcar to get by. And they was out there. Here's a streetcar coming along. And they get out there and they wait for the streetcar now. And about that truck, a big truck came whizzing right beside. The uncle got one, and what's her name, got the other. Oh, it was tragic, so tragic.
Mm.
I don't think she was ever married.
Mm. Did they die?
Oh, it was immediate.
Immediate. Oh, how sad. Oh, my gosh. How sad.
I mean, that's the way I remember it. How old could I have been? Wait a minute. Well, that was after we were down south here, I guess. It had to be, because we went up there to visit them. And they were staying in this daughter's apartment.
Oh, when it happened?
Huh?
It happened after your grandparents already came.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, my. How tragic. Yeah. Mm-mm.
I'm sure, because I don't think I was there.
Mm. What else do you remember about those grandparents, your mother's parents?
Huh?
What else do you remember about your mother's parents?
Well, no, I don't think. Yeah, it was a good type man, you know, religious and like that. And he, I recall with a kind of a build like Russ, your husband.
Kind of a big man, heavy set.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, he was a bigger man than she was a woman. Oh, she was tiny. She was up to my building. That's where I remember. Well, you know, a pulses of wood.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, and then, you know, the expression of, you know, this baby being the surprise.
Always being surprised. No. How long did they live? Do you remember? How long did they live?
I really didn't know. That, for some reason, the information didn't travel fast at all. There had to be somebody to tell them.
Do you remember how many times you saw that grandparent? How many times did you see those grandparents?
Maybe once or twice, maybe. I just don't know. I remember the table they had. He sat at the big dining room table, little table cover, and with his book there.
Right? Well, I guess we inherited it from him, because you and I like to study books too.
Oh, it was a pupil, what do you call it?
Yeah, pupil, yeah.
Professional.
Oh, he was a professional fruit. Did he teach anywhere?
Oh, not that I know of. You know, like, I imagine somebody like, maybe Mr. Fuchs's father or grandfather.
Now, you know what? You didn't tell me much about your father's mother. You told me about your grandfather, David. Was he a big man or a little man?
Yeah, he was about Sean's size.
About Sean's size? And how about your grandmother, his wife?
Well, she was, you know, how they gain weight after the boy babies came. Yeah. She had 8 of them.
Wow.
I think she's too old, I had 7 or 8. And, yeah, grandfather, that did, my Sean did, grandmother, she always seemed to be dressed up, you know. We lived on North First Street. I don't know whether you knew that area.
Was that, where was that? In
Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, on First Street. I don't think I knew that area.
I think the Brooklyn Bridge was not far from there. Not far from the from where the grandparents lived. You know, just imagine that. I think there's a street, an important connecting, you know, avenue street, dividing the north and the south.
Right.
And we lived on North First Street.
Okay.
That was the first street after going south. After this business street. And then going up from that, or going south, grandparents lived on South 4th Street.
Oh, okay, so you lived on South 1st Street, and they lived on South 4th Street in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we were North 1st Street.
North 1st Street, and then you crossed that big
commercial
street, and then went and near the Brooklyn Bridge.
I think that was the Brooklyn Bridge. It was a big, you know, big bridge.
Big bridge. But that was after he was on the farms, right?
Hello?
That was after he ran the farms. You said last night we talked about how your grandfather David had 2 farms in New York and then 1 in Connecticut.
Oh, farms.
Farms, uh-huh.
I thought you said sons.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, farms.
Yeah.
So then after he sold those farms, because Meyer and the other boys had to go off to war.
Yeah.
Y'all moved to Brooklyn.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
You were pretty young.
Yeah, I guess so. I was pretty young. Yeah.
How old were you?
Yeah.
How old were you when you moved to South Carolina?
Did you say 9 years old?
No, I don't know.
8.
Okay. I've never known. That's why I was asking.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen that picture when I had this beautiful suit on.
I think I've seen it. Was that taken in New York?
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. Yeah, I think so.
Right before you moved?
Yeah.
And what did your father do in New York when y'all lived in Brooklyn? Do you know what he did?
He was in the clothing business like the rest of them. He was a pressman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. And your mother stayed home with the kids?
Yeah. She was on the hands and knees scrubbing the floor.
She was a good housekeeper?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was... There was confusion on Fridays. Every Friday, then by bench, Nick bench. You know what that is?
No. What does that mean?
A prayer to the candle.
Oh, the prayer to the candles, yes.
You know, right there.
At sunset.
At sunset on...
on Friday night.
Yeah.
And so it was always crazy before that.
Oh, yeah. Flower everywhere. You know.
Yeah, your mother was a good baker. She was a good cook.
Oh, she baked the best challah you ever saw. Mm. You know what a challah is?
Oh, yeah, I know what a challah is. Yeah, I know what it is.
That was the best you ever had. Everybody used to call it cake.
Oh, yeah. But I remember even when we were in Augusta and I was a little girl, she always baked. She baked tegla and
what?
Rugula. She always was a good baker.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was an excellent baker. And she also sewed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was an expert buttonhole maker.
Really?
She edged the buttonhole. She got 5 cents to do that.
Oh,
done by hand.
Did she do it at home or before she had children?
No, at home. And I would go to the tailors and get the coats, carry them home. When she finished with them, I'd take them back to the tailor.
Well, you know, back then, five cents.
5 cents a piece, can you imagine?
That was a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right. 5 cents was a ride on the subway, trolley cars or whatever.
Yep. So she was good at that. That's
Coca-Cola.
Interesting.
Coca-Cola was 5 cents.
Yep. The cheapest I remember a Coca-Cola was when we lived in the Kinston Apartments, and they had that Coke machine.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it was 4 cents. I remember it 4 cents.
Never was.
Or 5 cents. I remember it was cheap. And then it went up to 6 cents.
Yeah, it must have been five.
Yeah, it was real cheap. It was real cheap. And I remember when we lived.
As a matter of fact, there was always a penny tax on it, I'm afraid, I believe.
Probably so.
It was 6 cents.
Yep. I remember Mama used to take care of that machine. My mother took care of that machine.
No kidding.
And what we'd do is we found that there was one place in the machine that if you put it there, the Cokes would get really cold and have kind of little ice crystals in it, but it wouldn't freeze. And she'd always put one back there for herself and then tell me to go get it for her.
I don't know you. I don't think I ever knew your mother to remember her.
Miriam? You remember Miriam, my mother.
Miriam what?
Your wife.
Oh, you mean Stadium?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were still talking about Hazel Street.
Oh, no, not your mother, my mother.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I skipped the subject.
Yeah.
What else do you remember about your mother? Esther.
Well, yeah, she was a hard worker at the house. As a matter of fact, Ruth was delivered there in the house.
In
the apartment on Alfred Street.
Oh, really?
Can you imagine?
Can't imagine.
And this is, I didn't know what it was. I was 8 years old. I woke up one morning and there was a pan, and, bunch of red meat.
Oh, no.
Placenta.
The placenta, oh my gosh, oh daddy.
I didn't know what it was until I got grown, or maybe we haven't.
Did it bother you? Did it bother you?
No, not after that. I mean, no, it didn't bother me. It went one way or the other. Just an object.
Did you know that you were going to have a brother or sister?
No.
And then what happened then? You saw that and then all
I
of a sudden?
I didn't say anything.
Did you? And then just all of a sudden your sister is there. Of a sudden there's a baby.
I didn't connect them,
So it was just like she was born and they told you had a sister.
Yeah. So you see, what you knew up to 8 years, I'd been 7 years old.
Yep. I bet most 7-year-olds know where babies come from these days. A lot of 7-year-olds know where babies come from now.
The baby.
Yeah. They know where babies come from.
Oh.
What did they tell you? Did they tell you the stork brought her?
No.
They didn't say anything.
Little baby sister, yeah. Well, they didn't even say anything.
It was just there.
Yeah. They have a little bit of a diaper of a baby, you know.
Oh, how funny. How funny.
Who is that? That was Ruth.
That was Ruth. What else do you remember about your mother, Esther?
Well, I guess you call that a tenement house we lived in. I guess most of those houses around in Brooklyn were tenement houses.
I mean,
there were an individual house. Not where. I never knew of an individual house.
Did you have an indoor toilet?
What?
An inside bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The plumbing had a commode. The water tank, instead of being right there on top of the made of porcelain, it was about up around that doorway high.
Uh-huh.
You know, up
high.
On the commode.
Uh-huh.
That high. And there was it must have been a tin tub or something. It was lined with wood. And there was a pipe, a water pipe, with a string to flush it. The string went up to the, to flush it. And it flushed down into the toilet and then right there, the bathtub.
So was it in your apartment or did you have to share it?
No, it was our apartment. I don't know.
It wasn't a tenement house then. I don't think it would have been a tenement.
Oh, is that what it is?
Not a tenement house.
I always consider it a tenement.
It's just a lot of apartments. But the tenement houses, you had to either go outside to go to the bathroom.
Do what?
Go outside to the bathroom or share bathrooms with other families.
Oh, that was...
That was a real tenement house.
Yeah, I guess about 1900, maybe. When modern plumbing began to come in.
Yeah. And your bathroom, was it a separate room in your house? In your apartment?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I think it was probably middle class. It wasn't a tenement.
Oh.
It was probably just middle class.
Middle house?
Middle class.
Oh.
Middle class.
Yeah, because it might have been... We were on the first floor.
Uh-huh.
You know, they come in the hallway and they pour you. And you go up to the first floor to the right side. And then it was probably 5 more stories.
Well, I would say a first floor apartment was a nice one. Had it been a house, a one-family house at one time, do you think? It was always an apartment building.
Yeah.
Because about that time, in the early 19-teens and 20s, some of the old houses that had been built, like in the 1800s, that were beautiful single-family houses, they converted to apartments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was done. Even World War I.
Yeah.
World War II.
Yeah, and when I lived in New York, the apartment had...
On Street in Augusta, Green Street.
Uh-huh.
Green Street. The big courthouse was along that street. And that's what they did with the houses, which was across the street from that. And that was a they call them morning rooms or something, or morning. I had a room, a single room. Of course, I think that was shared with your neighbor. I'm not sure.
So, how old were you when you said you were about 8 or 9 when you left New York and went to South Carolina?
Yeah.
How long did you live in Columbia? How long did your parents live in Columbia?
My parents lived there. Oh, until about 1935.
Had you already graduated from college?
Oh, no. Hardly. When I came down to Columbia, I was in the fourth grade.
Okay.
And of course, I was young, too, when I'd skip one and given one or something. I don't know. I wish I had lived with those years, you know, with the people who your age.
Yeah.
So I was bashful, I guess, and didn't talk or do anything like that. And stammer. Did I ever tell you about the stammering?
No, tell me about it.
I'm sure how you remember. The moment, now imagine this, you went to schools, colleges. The moment I stepped foot in the medical school, the first grade in medical school, first time I stepped foot into medical school. Imagine that is actually happening.
Yes.
I lost my stuttering.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I remember so well, you know, it must have happened.
Wow. Now, so how long did y'all live in Columbia? When did you move to Augusta?
1932 or 33. I believe, in junior high or maybe the sixth grade or fourth grade. Moved to Augusta?
Uh-huh.
I was from Columbia.
From Columbia. Because you graduated from the University of South Carolina.
1935 or 36.
And but you graduated. They must have moved right after you graduated.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I was, what was I, 16?
Yeah.
I'm still graduating.
Yeah, 16. So that would have been 1932 or 33.
I graduated from college in that year. Yeah.
Did you graduate from college at 16?
No, in
high school.
1935,
okay.
I think, I don't know. All that stuff was in the wrong. The niggas of Grello stolen them. The movers.
Oh,
and I got next up with Sean.
Oh. Well, let's keep talking about what was going on in Augusta.
Yeah.
About my grandparents and your mother and daddy. If there's anything else. You haven't talked about your daddy. You've talked about your granddaddies, but you haven't talked much about your daddy.
Oh, they lived on North First Street.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, that's in Brooklyn. I mean, in Columbia.
Where did y'all live?
Wait a minute. They, oh, in Columbia. When they came down from New York, they went to Columbia. And, what's the name of that street? It was a, it had a walkway in the middle, you know, trees and grass. You know, I have to think.
That's okay. What's the matter, Lucy Bird?
When you move from Columbia, you say to Augusta. Did I say 1935?
Yeah.
I guess it must have been. Damn, I'm a little confused. I was... was I 19 when I graduated from college?
I think you've told me that before.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was out of college and working. No. I don't know.
Because I'm wondering how you ended up living in a boarding house.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's when I graduated from college and went down there to work.
Oh, so you went down there before your parents moved?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And where did you work when you first went down there?
Huh?
Where did you work?
At Cass Brothers. Cass Brothers and Company Incorporated, the junkyard.
Oh, so you're...
You see, they had the junkyard in Columbia.
Uh-huh.
And there was Papa, Meyer, and Saul. And Meyer and Saul didn't want to go to Augusta.
Oh.
So they... Said Papa, I'm not kind of sure, but when I went in there, I guess it was beginning of the summer, I graduated from the college, and I went down to Augusta, and that's when I went in the boarding house.
Oh, okay.
Somebody recommended it, and of course I was a good one.
I guess I didn't understand, you know, back in those days, if your parents moved down, you stayed with them until you got married. Mm-hmm. So...
Well, it's the World War.
What's the matter? You've been out.
Before I got married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of, I mean, there's an incident, a good incident.
Mm-hmm.
They, it was a coal yard that they had gotten, you know, the area, it wasn't working in coal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In Augusta.
Lay down. Shh.
When Saul picked it up for a junkyard. I thought Saul did work down there for a little while until I came along.
Oh, okay.
And when I came along, they sent me, you know, to go to the work. Well, there was a big, they sold a big lot, you know. I think it's an accumulation of number of car loads of scrap iron. How many, I don't remember. Maybe 10 or something like that. And they had their books. They have much weight and what the payment was. So, according to the books, we cleaned out the yard, shipped it all away. And according to the books, there's 400 tons. I think that was a figure. I was down there by myself, you know, using ice company scales to weigh anything bigger than a small truck. I couldn't put a big truck on there, or it wouldn't weigh more than a ton, something like that. So that's the way they bought their weight. Well, one day, I mean, I was buying then, now there in the office and all, with the scale. I was buying and I looked at the truck. It was what we call a ton and a half truck. Looked at the truck, it was a popular size. And I saw the automobile frame. Just a frame, like it was a picture frame, and to that frame is what they attached all the other mechanisms for the car. And I saw the amount that the ticket we came from the ice factory. Was much larger than the weight we had on my scale. I saw something screwy there, and there was a bunch of niggas with it on this group. You know, came in from
country somewhere.
It came in from the country, you know, to sell that. What if it hadn't? If it had been a reasonable amount of scrap iron on there, you know, you just wouldn't. But it was just about equal to what the book said was supposed to be there. The yard was clean. The book had so much weight. So it says, we're missing its weight. Where is this weight? I had... Oh, and then I called Saul down, and we were... He hated to spend money. So it was an inconvenience, you know, to go. I wanted to weigh my own right there. And when I showed him that, I got my 20-ton scale.
Wow.
You know, something you could put even a trailer on.
Well, that was modern.
Huh?
That was much more modern.
Yeah, but... They always had the idea that I'd stolen that much iron. You see what I mean?
Yeah. How could you?
Oh, that's when Papa came down. Yeah, that settled it. Who was going to go down to Augusta?
Wanted to make sure that everything
was
on.
They wanted me in jail. I guess I'm just joking.
But you found out that somebody, maybe some people had been taking advantage of you.
Oh, it was. Yeah, that's why they figured out. The Bunceneggers, they always came with that truck. They weighed on the truck at the White House. They weren't there to be weighed. Oh, they were there, but they left the truck to weigh it at our place. It didn't surprise them have me re-weighed. They always,
put stuff on there, tried to up the, make it heavier than it was, and then you weren't getting the scrap. They made it.
What's that?
They made it heavier than it was.
That's right. Yeah. With nigger meat.
Oh, my.
And, that's the way we used to talk. What the hell?
Yeah.
And now, even before.
So
Obama, it was, the idea was, as a matter of fact, I came back from the war, riding the bus, and I felt that way, like everybody does now. If you're colored, you had to start seating from the back, come on. The whites started seating from the front and going toward the back. That's the way they segregated. So people here even thinking that way, that's a insulting kind of thing. So I used to go to the back. One time, the conductor, the driver, said, "Sir, please, will you come up here and start him sitting behind me?" And I was kind of insulted. He said, reluctantly, he said, "I can call the police."
Whoa.
You see, at that time, you were breaking the law for doing what they were, clicking their tongues after the World War.
Wow. Huh. Times have changed.
At that time, now there on the coal yard, had a toilet in their office.
Oh,
but I don't know what they provided it elsewhere. Or maybe they just, fit in the trains. And then they had installed toilets. That was only one in the office. We had two, one in the office, and one in this new toilet. And the new toilet was white and cold.
Yeah.
It wasn't. You didn't have but two toilets. It wasn't male and female.
Color. I remember that. Remember those days.
So then, it was still white and colored when I came back from after the Second World War. What happened after that? I don't quite remember. things. I know 1936, when I went down there to Augusta, they had the wage an hour thing come in. And I used to have to fill out the numbers, you know, they gave everybody a social security number. I filled out my own. 1936, 35, 36.
A lot of record keeping, wasn't it?
Huh?
A lot of record keeping.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot. That's a whole lot to remember.
It is. That's why I wanted to tape it, because I could never remember all that. I remember some things, but not. You told me every time you talked to me, I learned something different.
I mean, I think these are good dates. I think 1935. Would be a good date when I graduated from college, I believe, and went down to Augusta. I think that would be. And, let me see. I think Mama came over in 1931. What did I say? 1903. And Papa came a little later.
Did they know each other in Europe?
No. No, they... I don't know whether Miss Mama's aunt or something, Udza. You ever hear that name, Udza?
No, but...
What would that be like? Oza, now, A-U-D-Z or something?
Yeah, Oza.
Anyhow, it's in my mind that she used to bring the girls over. What was my grandfather's name?
David?
No.
The other one.
Mama's father.
Oh, I don't know.
I forget almost that. Anyhow, my grandmother would periodically send one of the girls over to America to Ms. Udza. And I think they stayed with, they were cousins, I think. They stayed with till they found a husband, I think somebody found Esther's husband for Morris. Miss Matchmaker.
Was it a matchmaker?
Yeah.
Oh, how funny. Oh, that's funny. But do you think they loved each other?
I think they did, you know, later on.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, I don't know whether all that romantic stories was in every case. They say, you marry them. And they go into the chuppah, I guess. I don't know. You know what the chuppah was?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Four poles holding up.
Yeah, for the marriage, yeah.
It's kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, it is. It's a very interesting story.
Whether that area is written up in books, I don't know. Do you know of anything like that?
I haven't studied it, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. It was such a, I mean, it discouraged They did stars, same thing, segregated in America, you know, the white.
Yeah. Are you getting hungry?
Huh?
Are you getting hungry?
Well,